Coming up, the story behind a new energy system in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the July 21st rain report, APRS. These four letters revolutionized amateur radio tracking in the mid-1990s. The man behind APRS is Bob Breninga, WB4APR. But wait a darn minute here. Bob isn't talking a lot about his automatic packet reporting system, APRS, these days. If you attended his hour-long Plus Forum at the 2018 Dayton Hamvention last May, you already know his new crusade is a whole new world of energy.
My name is Bob Breninga. You probably recognize me from APRS. APRS has been around for 25 years. Now I plan on spending the rest of my life on this planet trying to wake people up to the fact that we got a whole new energy system out there. Not only is it clean, renewable, but it's also cheaper. To me, energy now is more than a hobby. You see my solar-powered car, my solar field day, my solar at my house. My background is built my first Hamfest generator in 1965, 2 years after I got my license, and that was by rewinding a 12-volt generator to make it a 120-volt alternator. 1970, my senior project at Georgia Tech was an electric car. 1983, I was able to buy the first full production electric vehicle in America called the City Car, and it's still in my backyard. It's actually got trees coming up and out the windows. In 2007, I finally got back to electric cars. You couldn't buy them, but you could buy salvage Priuses and convert them to all electric. And then in 2010, I started accumulating solar panels, eventually went to a heat pump, and kept collecting Priuses. I'm concerned for our future. Six solar panels, costing about $1,200, will fully charge a Prius plug-in car every day forever. Talk about independence from foreign oil, independence from price fluctuations. It's just unbelievable. 8 years ago when I first started this, you know, we were spending $2 billion a day for foreign oil. And now I don't even need it. Moving on, it's a whole new world of power. It's not 60 hertz power anymore. Nobody buys a boat anchor power supply unless somebody gives it to you. Switching power supply now takes up 8% of the space and 10% of the mass, and it'll run on anything from about 80 volts to 330 volts DC, 100 to 240 volt AC. Unbelievable variety of power inputs. And the reason is because every DC switching supply, which everything is if it doesn't have a 60 hertz transformer, goes straight into a bridge rectifier. The bridge rectifier, and it's a universal supply, so it'll take 100 to 240 volts AC. When you rectify 240 volts AC, what do you get? 330 volts DC. What I'm saying is 330 volts DC is the new common power that's out there that you can tap into, whether it's solar, whether it's from a hybrid, or whether it's from the mains. I tried writing an article for QST, but they will not accept it because anything over 12 volts, they're worried about telling people how to do it. Now, you guys, looks like most of you are old enough to remember a tube transmitter. 300 volts was the minimum voltage, and we didn't die. My Cub Scout Lion badge for a Cub Scout, everybody built a two-tube radio with 300-volt batteries. And that's an eight-year-old kid. And now we can't talk about anything over 12 volts. Even if your power supply, here's a Kenwood. We know it's a switching supply because it doesn't weigh a ton. It's 25 amps, but it's only labeled 115 volts on the back, but you know they sell them in Europe. So you take the cover off, and sure enough, there's a jumper in there. You remove that, and then it operates on 240 volts. So if something is labeled 100 to 240 volts AC, you can guarantee that it'll probably work on DC. If it's labeled only 115 or it has a switch, you got to go to the 240 volt position in order to be able to go in directly on that rectifier. Because you see, if the jumper is in place, you're going to bring 300 volts DC into the center tap of the two voltage doubling capacitors, and they're only rated at 200 volts to save money. Instead of giving a single 400 volt capacitor, they give you two 200 volts, and so you burn out that electrolytic. But again, if it says 240 volts AC, then 330 volts DC will do just fine. Anything all the way down to 80 volts. I took every one of the laptop power supplies that I had in my lab, 15 of them. I plugged every single one of them into 70 volts DC, and every one of them gave full rated output. Now, I'm not saying that they would do that forever, because remember, as the voltage goes down, the current goes up. And I think that those things are probably not rated to continuously operate at full load down at that low voltage, because you're putting in almost four times the current. But anyway, just recognize there's a lot of potential. As hams, our dream has always been to have a big 10 kW generator out there in the driveway. And my experience with all my generators all my life is they never work when I need them. And I always maintain my own engines, and I am getting tired of that. Absolutely cannot stand. Well, you know, it snows. I got a snowblower that can do the whole neighborhood. I spend the whole first day of the snowstorm trying to get the thing to crank. You know. So anyway, I'm pretty anti-generators because think of this. In Maryland, they guarantee 99.96% reliable power. Work that out, that's 4 hours a year. The average American home draws 1 kW. 4 hours. That's 4 kilowatt hours at 10 cents a kilowatt hours. That's 40 cents worth of electricity that you're going to lose per year, and you're going to spend $10,000 for that 4 hours of electricity.
You're listening to the first of two excerpts from a 2018 Dayton Hamvention presentation about a whole new world of energy, voiced by the man behind APRS, Bob Breninga, WB4APR. We'll continue Bob's enthusiastic talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
The reason I stopped doing generators is I drive a hybrid, and a hybrid, of course, has a 50,000-watt generator in it. It's just crazy to me that the auto industry has not recognized, you know, with all these hurricanes and everything else and disaster and emergency power and everybody's worried about power, and yet out in your driveway you got 50,000 watts, and they just haven't given you the $300 DC to DC converter to give you access to that power. Imagine the sales that they could make if they would just do that. So I did it on my Prius, tapped into both the 220-volt battery. The problem is, go try to find an inverter that takes 300 volts input DC and gives you 120 volts 60 hertz output. When you have a battery backup UPS system, they always want to minimize the number of lead acid batteries you have, so they only operate at 24 or 36, 48, maybe up as high as 6 batteries for 72 volts, but there's just not a market out there for the 300 volt ones. Since I've been talking about this for 8 years, now there's guys in China, of course, that are making them. And so they take a standard 3 kW backup UPS and just rewind the input to operate on 200 to 250 volts input. And now, I don't remember how much it costs, but you put that in the trunk of your Prius, and now you've got access to that 10 kW. It's a 50 kW generator, but that's with the four-cycle engine running wide open. It's really, I assume you could get about 10 kW average power out of it without too much hassle. But of course, that takes up a lot of room in the trunk. So all I have is a little 1200 watt modified sine inverter in the back by the tail light. It's back there because that's where the battery is. A little 12 volt battery is what the Prius runs off of. And you could put a 2 kW, 3 kW inverter there because you're drawing from the 12 volt battery, but not very long. But remember, the beauty of the hybrid is that all hybrids have a high voltage to 100 amp 12 volt DC to DC converter to power all the accessories. All the accessories and all these modern electric and hybrids are still 12 volts. And so worst case, snow, all the blowers are going, the rain, the windshield wipers, all that stuff. They usually provide 100 amps at 14 volts to keep the battery charged. So I can draw kilowatts out of the 12 volt battery, but if I'm drawing more than that 100 amps that's being replaced by the high voltage system, I'm going to be running my 12 volt battery down. So it turns out that although it's providing 100 amps from the high voltage system, it's been studied that you need to keep your long-term load below about 850 watts because as soon as you draw more than 850 watts, the voltage on your 12-volt battery is dropping below 14 volts and you're no longer maintaining it at a full charge. And running this way, drawing 1 kW, you can run for about a week on 8 gallons of gas, a tank. Fantastic backup power supply, and especially because you use it every day, you know it works, and you just plug into it. And you say, of course, well, but any car can provide this kind of power from 12 volts. Yeah, but only if the engine's running. The advantage of the hybrid is that the hybrid will take care of the 12-volt system, and you don't even have to think about it. You leave it in ready mode, and you can just leave it there for a week, and the engine will start up whenever it needs to maintain the charge on the battery, and when the battery's full, it'll shut down, and so the car will cycle entirely on its own. And so instead of at night having to go out and shut off the generator to go to sleep, in the rain and the storm, you just go to sleep. The hybrid will go to sleep, and it'll wake up the next morning when you turn on the toaster. So back in 2014, there's over 60 models of hybrids to choose from, and almost every car is becoming a hybrid these days, or you can get a hybrid model. But if you really want to carry some power, think of an electric car. The typical hybrid battery is only 1 to 2 kilowatt hours. That's not much more than a 12-volt battery, a big 12-volt marine battery. The Nissan Leaf has a 16-kilowatt-hour battery, and, of course, the Tesla has an 85-kilowatt-hour battery. And with an average power draw of the average American home of 1 kW, look how long that's going to run for you. And people say, well, yeah, but where are you going to get your electricity during a grid blackout? Well, where are you going to get your gas during a grid blackout? Remember all the gas lines during Hurricane Sandy and everything else? But Toyota and Nissan in Japan do provide whole-house interfaces to their electric car. So you plug it in, you charge, and whenever you lose power, the house runs on the car. Turns out that's a solar house, so you know when the grid goes down, he's still got the power, still powers whole house, and he's got the energy storage in the battery that he drives every day. So people think that gasoline is the ideal power support. Look at Puerto Rico. You spend all your time trying to get gas, and you got no power. The other thing, remember Sandy? Disaster on the East Coast in New Jersey and Long Island. But this satellite image on the left is the normal, everything's fully lit. One on the right is in the middle of the blackouts of Hurricane Sandy, and you see that there's still lights on in New Jersey, there's still lights on Long Island, just not as many. And so if when the grid goes down, you're depending on your electric vehicle for power, all you got to do is look around for some lights and go over and ask to plug in. I'll get back to that asking somebody else to plug in topic in a minute. Oh, and I'm sorry, one thing I wanted to mention is we have this electric vehicle up here. I walked all the way through the flea market to see if I could find an electric car to buy. A few minutes before this talk, I stumble on this guy selling this electric bicycle. It's a fantastic machine. And so I said, hey, bring it in here. You want to do a loop around over there and back while I'm talking? It has a 20 amp hour, 36 volt battery. It'll run 20 miles a day. And remember, I showed the 6 solar panels can fully power a Prius every day forever. One solar panel can power this thing 20 miles every day forever, the rest of your life. Talk about unlimited power. It's a whole new world of energy.
And that's our first excerpt from a talk about a whole new world of energy, voiced at the 2018 Dayton Hamvention by Bob Breninga, WB4APR, better known to the ham world for his automatic packet reporting system, APRS, that put amateur radio tracking on its ear in the mid-1990s. Bob will continue his whole new world of energy diatribe in our second excerpt from his Hamvention talk next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights reserved. This hamcast updates Saturday both on therainreport.com and on the Lebanon, Tennessee shortwave juggernaut WTWW around 9 p.m. Saturday night on 5.085 megahertz. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!